JM and the AM, as we continue, we're in hour number two, and we will be speaking with soldiers from the IDF coming up. We're going to be visiting us here at Yeshiva.Kotel. Mikey Nadrich, is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah.
Mikey Nadrich is here. He is from Teaneck, New Jersey. Still have a big Jewish community over there?
Yeah.
Just checking. Mikey just came back. What does it mean, just came back last week? From your work? It means you just came back last week? You just came back to Yeshiva.Kotel.
Army.
Oh, just came back in the army. An IDF soldier. Kol hakavod latzahal. When did you join?
I came back from Elohim last week.
Yeah, but when did you originally join?
March 2021.
And this reserve duty that you're now back from started on Shemini Atzeres.
Right after, day after, yeah.
And based on the notes I have in front of me, it's obvious you were down south.
No, actually, you were near Ramla, was where they...
So that's more like...
In the center.
In the center.
Yeah.
But one of your tasks, based on what we were told, was literally dealing with those who had been murdered by the enemy.
Yeah, so there's the people that collect them, and then right. There's the people that identify who it is. That was
so what was your role?
I
to identify?
Moved the people from the people that collect them to the people that identify them.
So that's like a... Aside from it being a life-changing experience, I'm sure,
yeah.
You're dealing with the holiest and most important work, yet it must be very hard to adjust to.
It was definitely, the first 2-3 days, it was very, very difficult. But like, I think it's like sad to say almost that we got me and like everyone that was there, we kind of got used to it.
You get used to the activity.
And it became like something that was a little bit less meaningful.
Right.
But yeah.
So what could you tell us, because remember, we're speaking now to an audience that is not on the spot, right, is not here in Israel at the moment and may not realize the enormity of this tragedy. What could you tell us about the numbers? And I'm not asking for specific numbers. Just in your role, it's obvious that at some point it was overwhelming how many people you're bringing to this center for identification and the types of things they had suffered from. I mean, what could you tell us about this horrific tragedy?
So it was definitely... I've never been to the place before. But they told us before we got in that they're used to having 1 or 2 people there.
Right.
And we walked in, you see a place just full of, like, stretchers, full of, and you really have no clue what's left and what's right, what's going on, what you're supposed to do. Till basically they called us all together and, like, gave us, like, there was a lot of psychologists there and everything. And they kind of told us, like, exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And once you're ready, and they gave us, like, a really, really one of the best speeches I've ever heard, by Rav that was there and Steirot, about what we were doing. And it kind of changed, like, the whole mindset. Like, we got there and we were just all in shock. Like, we couldn't believe. When we got there, we probably saw 100 to 200 bodies in one place.
Wow.
And we were, like, we were...
That's all overwhelming.
Yeah. We were all in a complete shock. Really in no clue, like, what to do, even, like, how to respond to it. Till that Rav basically came and spoke to us and kind of gave us direction, focused on one thing at a time, and... That's basically what we did from there on for the rest of the week.
Well, I mean, it's obvious to us that you were involved in one of the most important tasks, sad to say. And again, just the numbers that you described tells us about the enormity of what type of tragedy the Jewish people have suffered through this horrific massacre. Did they limit the amount of time you could spend each day doing this? Like, were they recommending you take breaks?
At the beginning, it was basically all one...
Hectic.
Very hectic. No one knew what was going on. By the third day, they kind of caught on, and it was 8 hours on, 16 hours off.
Right. They encourage you to take time for yourself.
Every time you finish a shift, you have to speak to a psychologist. Before a shift, you have to speak to a psychologist then. And it became very, like, well-organized and very well-run.
So where'd you go to high school?
I went to Frisch.
So how do I put this? You make a commitment to go to the Israeli army, and you have certain expectations. And, of course, we're at a relative. Obviously, nobody's always safe in this neighborhood of the world, but we have a relative stretch of peace, you know, of quiet, let's put it that way. Peace may be the wrong word. And then, you know, I don't know if you as a soldier ever said this to yourself, but when this war breaks out, it's sort of like, you know, you never thought, not that you wouldn't have signed up for this, but you never thought you'd be signing up for this, right? You never thought that you and your colleagues would be involved in things like this. And then, of course, you're given this responsibility. It must be... You know, I'm jokingly, yesterday when we did our show with Uri Pilichowski, I said to him, you know, how does a Frisch kid become this, you know, defender of a city in Israel? Because he posted how he's ready for the enemy to approach and beware, you know, we're going to take care of you. You know, some of us are wondering how an American high school kid adjusts to these types of activities, these types of tasks.
I think the Army just does a good job of training you. They take normal people that are also, most people that are going to the Army don't live in the first line between right. the enemy and us. They live in the middle of the country. Generally, it's safe. Generally, nothing's going on. Army kind of trains you to the mindset to where you're ready at any time.
Something. And you would say that during basic training as well, not just during wartime.
Yeah, during basic training, we were woken up at least twice a night during basic training just in case the enemy was coming. Right. It's just they train you to the mindset. So a lot of people in the Army have the mindset that they're ready. And not that we thought something like this would ever happen. Like I remember a lot of my friends spent a lot of time on the Gaza border. They were with me there. They're all in shock that something like this could happen. No one really thought it could happen.
Kol hakavod letzahal. I said it before. Kol hakavod to you, and what a pleasure to meet you, Mikey. I wish I'd been under different circumstances. And we pray for you. You know that. We pray for you and your colleagues, and always have in mind those who are defending the state of Israel. Tada rabba. Thank you so much. Mikey Nadrich, who's from Teaneck, but had this enormous task of dealing with hundreds of people who were murdered by the enemy. And this is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app.